Johnny.
You're still afraid.
Stop it now. I mean it.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it. You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it. You're acting like a child.
Look, they're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Reviews. On today's episode of the podcast, I will be breaking down movie news, looking at the movies that came out this week, and then talking about 1968's classic zombie horror film, Night of the Living Dead, which I just finished last night. But let's get started with movie news. Hugh Jackman is back as Wolverine. Kind of comes as a shock to me, and I think most of the movie loving public. It seemed like 2017's Logan was a perfect send-off for his character, but he has decided to come back, and he is going to be in the next Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds, which I'm not super thrilled about, to be honest, because I'm just not a big Deadpool fan. I think that humor just really, really wears on me. Sitting through the second one was definitely not a fun experience for me. So not looking forward to that too much, but it will be interesting to see how they bring Hugh Jackman's Wolverine into that movie and into that world. So they're still having trouble finding the next James Bond. Daniel Craig was in No Time to Die, I think that was the title, and that came out last year, and that is his last James Bond movie. They're trying to find someone who can be James Bond for the next decade, so they're not looking for a George Lazenby or a Timothy Dalton. They're looking more for a Pierce Brosnan or a Daniel Craig. But I guess they're having trouble finding somebody who's willing to do that. It's just a huge, huge time commitment. I just skimmed the article. I didn't look too much detail, but that's at least what appeared to be happening. Robert Eggers, who directed my favorite movie of the year this year, The Northman, he also directed The Witch and The Lighthouse. He is going to be making a remake of 1922's Nosferatu. And Robert Eggers is just a master at bringing you into worlds and creating this atmosphere in his film. So I'm really, really excited to see what he can do with Nosferatu, a film that has been remade a few times already. And in the last piece of news for today, the director of the Jurassic Park sequel trilogy, Colin Trevorrow, said that maybe there only should have been one Jurassic Park movie. You think? Anyway, if you haven't heard my thoughts on the newest Jurassic Park movie, tune into the podcast from a few weeks back where I discussed my dislike of that film. Anyway, movies of the week that are releasing. I didn't put them all in a list here, but Hocus Pocus 2 is streaming on Disney Plus. This was a movie with Sarah Jessica Parker playing a witch. I don't even know all the actresses in it. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but anyway, super, super popular movie from the late 90s. And anyway, they're bringing it back on Disney Plus for Hocus Pocus 2. Anyway, people are very excited about it, but I am not one of them. So having not seen the first one, and I definitely do not want to waste my time. So other movies that came out this week, Bros, the new Judd Apatow movie, comedy starring Billy Eichner, supposedly getting a lot of positive buzz right now, positive reviews. Definitely hoping to check that one out at some point, but I don't think it's available for streaming. I think it's only in theaters. And it seems like movie studios come out with these horror movies every October, again, of course, because they're going to make money from them. But they come out with these horror movies every October that just look like they're going to be horrible. Some that come to mind in recent years, really, I guess just one, like The Bye Bye Man, and just movies like that just look like it didn't cost very much to make this movie, but then they're just going to rake it in because people are like, it's Halloween, we need to go see a horror movie. But supposedly this new horror movie, Smile, is actually supposed to be pretty good. As of the time of recording this podcast, it is currently at a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes. So maybe it is worth seeing. I'm not planning on watching it, as there's some other horror movies that I would like to watch. But I don't know. Maybe I will check it out here at some point. But anyway, on to the main event, and that is 1968's Night of the Living Dead. They're coming for you, Barbara. So just an absolute classic, independent movie, kind of launched the zombie genre, is the reason that we have The Walking Dead today, is the reason that there are so many zombie video games, zombie movies, all sorts of things are kind of this is the movie that really started it. And this is a movie that was directed, photographed, edited, and even written by George A. Romero. So he kind of did everything with this one. And the movie follows these seven people who are stuck in a farmhouse, and they're dealing with this situation in which there are all these murders going on around the United States, and the people that are being, or the people that are committing the murders, are actually eating their victims. And so, yeah, we would call them zombies, but in the movie they call them flesh-eating ghouls, which I just love. And they repeat that ad nauseum, but it's fantastic. They're just like, oh no, there's one scene in particular where there's this TV broadcast and they must say ghouls, I don't know, at least 5 or 6 times. And it's amazing. Anyway, just a little bit of background about this movie. Romero originally worked on TV commercials, but got together with a few friends and they decided to film this movie. It was inspired by I Am Legend, which is actually was made into a movie, I believe. Ooh, I'm going to guess here. I didn't write it down. I want to say 2008. That sounds about right. I think I was in high school. I did see it, starring Will Smith. And that movie was all right. But I Am Legend was a book that came out in the 1950s. But George A. Romero got a lot of inspiration from that. The filming of this movie was just about over a year. The budget was only $100,000. But it remains one of the most profitable movies of all time, bringing in millions and millions of dollars on such a low budget. And on one level, it is this zombie movie, but this is, again, it came out in 1968. But on a deeper level, it's the social commentary about being Black and living in America during the 1960s. This movie was very ahead of its time in the fact that the lead actor in this movie was African American. Which is something not a lot of movies were doing at the time. So it's definitely an important movie, and it's got recognized over the last several decades as being the super important and influential movie, just based on kind of the deeper levels of it. Not that it's just this simple zombie story, but there's more at play here. The interactions between some of the characters and other things that are happening. It is currently streaming on the Criterion Channel if you do want to check it out. And I am going to go into just what I think about the movie. I am a fan of this movie. It's definitely very low budget. But I think the camera work actually adds to the tension here. It's all filmed on what appears to be handheld cam. And it's just, yeah, there's shots that are from the ground aiming up. There's shots from above aiming down. It's kind of just whatever way. I'm sure George A. Romero put a lot of thought into how he filmed this, but it is like, you can tell it's a low budget film. But I think this film is better for it. It almost feels like you are stuck in the situation with the characters. The script definitely doesn't hold up super well when you compare it to modern movies. And some of the acting feels very stilted at times, or at other times very melodramatic. But the script still tells this effective, albeit simple, story. But again, yeah, even though the script is, again, the character dialogue is not the best, I think it does tell an effective story. And the last couple things I want to say about it, it's a movie where you don't really get to know the characters very well. And also, yeah, just a movie where it's weird. I didn't really find myself caring whether the people lived or died, but I still felt this tension while watching this movie, even though I wasn't really rooting for any of the characters. All the characters are kind of flawed in some way for the most part. But yeah, I was trying to think as I was watching it of other films where I just did not really care about the characters, but the film still held my interest and I was still very invested in what happened. I think this one may stand alone in that regard. But if you haven't seen Night of the Living Dead, it's a classic. It's a movie that has spawned countless sequels in the zombie genre, and a movie that is very influential even today. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely give it a shot. It's currently streaming, like I mentioned earlier, on the Criterion Channel. I will be back next week, and I will be actually watching Dawn of the Dead. There will probably be, I don't want it just to be zombie month, I'm probably also going to check out the new Hellraiser. It's not just going to be one movie each week, but definitely Dawn of the Dead and definitely the new Hellraiser. If the new Hellraiser does not get good reviews, then I don't know if I will check it out, but definitely plan on Dawn of the Dead. I mentioned this last week, but moving forward with the podcast, I kind of do want to make it into a podcast network of sorts. I am launching Pistons Presser, a Detroit Pistons podcast, on October 15th. So if you are a listener from the Detroit area, if you live in Michigan, or you're just a fan of the Detroit Pistons, definitely look for that one. I will definitely plug it again before the first episode airs, where I'll be kind of giving an NBA preview and a deep dive into the Pistons roster. Later in the month, two other podcasts are going to launch the very last weekend of October. One of those is going to be First Playthrough, which actually had a few episodes on Ryan's Reviews, but I'm making it into a separate podcast. And First Playthrough is going to be a podcast that celebrates video games. And it is just going to be one game a month. I'm hoping that I actually play the game to completion, but if I don't, I'll at least talk about it. And this month's game is going to be Alan Wake, the remaster or remake of it. I don't remember which one it is, but I'm really, really excited about this one. A sequel is supposed to be coming out sometime, I think, next year. But it just feels, from what I've seen of Alan Wake, it seems like a Stephen King novel. This guy kind of goes into this mysterious town and is trying to solve a mystery. So I'm excited about that one. I'll be checking that out and reviewing that at the end of the month. And then also I will be launching Fiction Fanatic, which is going to be a book club of sorts, kind of for me to keep track of the fiction books that I'm reading. I am a big nonfiction fan, but I'm trying to get back into fiction. So checking out one book a month, and this month's book is The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. I think it was one of the best-selling books of either last year or 2020. So I'll give my thoughts on that and kind of break it down. It was not what I was expecting it to be when I got it from the library. I literally knew nothing about it. But anyway, I'll discuss that more later in the month. But if you want to keep up with the podcast, if you want to play the video game, if you want to read the book, if you want to do any of those things, I think the podcast will be a little bit more fun if you do those things. But anyway, I'll plug all those podcasts. I'm making moves. Definitely going to be a lot more content in the coming months. But as always, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Ryan's Reviews. I will be back next Saturday reviewing Dawn of the Dead.